everyone is excited about it, and I think it's creating a lot of buzz in the industry, but I'm not actually seeing much action.
There are so many things that we are just great at. AI will not make us redundant anytime soon.
It will challenge us to rethink our role, rethink our value, and reposition ourselves.
The question will be is if we can adapt to really meet the needs that are going to be happening within organisations.
Welcome to the Training Journal podcast. I'm editor of Training Journal and your host, Joe Cook. Whilst the topic of artificial intelligence itself isn't new, the ability for most people to have access to using it, and therefore the discussion about artificial intelligence in all aspects of our work and life, has exploded over the last year. How fast has this happened? Well, according to Future Colab, ChatGPT acquired 100 million users in just 2 months. Contrast that to the 50 years it took for the phone to get half that many. And it took TV 22 years to get to 50 million users. Though you do have to put into context buying a phone or a TV compared to an account on a website. Let's bring this to our world of L&D and how it's already affecting us. Cathy Hoy is the CEO of CLO 100, and she says,
I think at the moment people are, well, some people are wary, some people are excited, some people are throwing themselves into experimenting, some people are kind of avoiding it still and hoping it's going to kind of, you know, blow away like another kind of fad. I see this very differently. I don't think that the AI is a fad. I think it's here to stay. And I don't think it's just going to be changing L&D. It's going to be changing absolutely everything in the organization and the way we work, the way we communicate with each other. I think everything.
Erica Farmer is co-founder, AI and Future Skills Specialist at Quantum Rise Talent, and talks about how AI is impacting her.
AI is affecting my job right now because clients are talking about it. Our typical clients are organisational L&D functions. And we're finding that there's a lot of analysis paralysis in regards to people wanting to get involved, but not quite knowing where to start.
Digital Director at People Unboxed, Paul Westlake, get us straight to the point.
Well, let's focus on the elephant in the room, shall we? Will AI put an end to my role in L&D? While AI is transforming the L&D landscape, there's no doubt about that, and automating certain tasks, I think it's fair to say it's unlikely to replace L&D professionals altogether. There are so many things that we are just great at, meaning that AI will not make us redundant anytime soon.
Erica Farmer reminds us about what we hopefully learned about digital adoption during COVID-19.
Again, like the digital revolution, and I said this at the beginning of the pandemic, kind of more kind of 2019, 2020, if we don't lead on that in organisations as a forward-thinking and innovative L&D function, businesses are going to leapfrog us if we're not careful. So we've got such an opportunity here to really provide our value and think differently and lead our organisations when it comes to AI.
A study from MIT found that only 23% of workers' wages could be cost-effectively replaced by AI. The researchers also predicted that it would still take decades for computer vision tasks to become financially efficient for companies, even with a 20% drop in cost per year. Going back to Paul Westlake.
I do think, however, AI has the potential to transform L&D's role and empower L&D professionals to focus on what they do best, which is about creating these meaningful learning experiences, fostering that human connection, and driving organisational success through talent development. So embrace it. Embrace AI, leverage its capabilities, and by doing that, L&D teams can play an even more strategic and impactful role in the evolving learning landscape.
Stella Collins, co-founder and chief learning officer at Stella Labs, reassures us about our jobs.
AI isn't going to bring an end to our L&D role. It can enhance our role. It's not going to bring an end to it if we use it to automate the mundane but important tasks that often get neglected because they seem too hard or they take too much time. Simple things like spaced repetition or sending people, you know, multiple nudges to get them on board with something. When you use it well, you can free up your time to do more value-added activities like, you know, talking to your stakeholders to preempt their needs and really understand their challenges. You can use the time to educate your stakeholders about how learning really works and about their important role in it. So if we use AI well, we can free up time from the tasks that take time, and then we can use it to really take time to do the tasks that are value added and bring impact both to our stakeholders, to the organization that you work in, and ultimately to the people that you're supporting in the learning function.
Erica Farmer agrees.
I don't think AI will bring an end to L&D. I was hearing the other day that the AI tutor is only 3 years away. So already we know that we can create content, videos, slides. Yeah, are they perfect? No. But they're certainly kind of reducing end-to-end time on design and completion of training materials, for example.
Yolanda Gill, Director of AI and Data Science Initiatives at USC, commented on this at an AI for Scientific Discovery workshop. She is looking forward to AI systems planning and doing experiments alongside scientists, because she said that there's not enough humans to do all this work. Erica Farmer looks with an opportunity lens.
So we really need to think about and support the L&D sector on what do those roles look like for the future? Because I think sometimes we're very good at looking outwards and telling everybody else, but this time we need to look inwards and grasp it with both hands and define that opportunity and grow with our learning around how to use AI and shape our roles. We've got such a great opportunity to do that. And it's time to really stretch the grey matter for L&D.
Liz Naylor is Senior Learning Consultant at NIIT and thinks we'll be busier than ever.
Will AI bring an end to our L&D role? Absolutely not. In the short term, I think it will actually bring us more work trying to upskill learning departments on how to use it, how to implement an AI strategy, helping upskill the organisation on how to use Gen AI, and also how to use it responsibly.
Some of you might know about the prediction of economist John Maynard Keynes back in 1930 that by now we'd be working just 15 hours a week. I looked back at this paper and I was struck by some of his opening comments, including the very first sentence, which reads, "We are suffering just now from a bad attack of economic pessimism." Never a truer word written, I think. He goes on to write, "We are suffering not from the rheumatics of old age, but from the growing pains of over-rapid changes." And one last quote for now is where he writes, "The increase of technical efficiency has been taking place faster than we can deal with the problem of labour absorption." Remember that this was 1930, and for me at least, I think it highlights that rapid progression of all work, technology, and the adaptation we've had to make around this. And AI is just the latest, albeit quickest and perhaps most impactful example. Liz Naylor continues.
Also, upskilling the functions on how to use Gen AIs. From all of the research that I've done, everyone wants to know how to use it in their part of the business. I think it's going to make us more creative as well to find use cases that can bring added value to the business. And this is also a chance to properly link talent management and skills to learning and knowledge management. So I'm really excited to see how the future will unfold.
Emma Weber is CEO and founder at Lever Transfer of Learning and is all about adapting to AI.
All some very exciting areas that I'm seeing unfolding in this, and I think they will become more and more important as time goes on. So I don't think it will be the end of L&D, because I think L&D is about growth, it's about expansion, and it's about people. And those will become key. The question will be is if we can adapt to really meet the needs that are going to be happening within organizations.
There's been lots changing at TJ, so do make sure to check out our articles, features, videos, and news on trainingjournal.com. And if you never want to miss out, make sure you subscribe to the newsletter too.
According to Grandview Research, the global AI market was valued at over $196 billion in 2023. They projected it to expand at a compound annual growth rate of nearly 40% to 2030. Matthew Borg, managing partner at Acteon Communication and Learning, focuses on this huge growth opportunity.
I'm not a futurist, but I don't see AI bringing an end to L&D. In fact, I'd say just the opposite. I think change on this sort of scale, and change that has the potential to increase productivity throughout the organization, is the perfect time for learning and development teams to show their value. What I encourage people to do, whatever their role, is to examine their value chain, their kind of core contribution. What are all of the links in the chain that make up your service to the organization? Some of those you may be able to do more efficiently with AI, and you're partly kind of delegating or outsourcing that part of your role. But what's left is where you'll be able to increase your value to the organization. You'll have more time for things like aligning with business objectives, engaging with senior leaders, working with frontline teams on how you can enable and equip them to drive the business forward and take advantage of these productivity gains.
At this point, we get all superhero geeky with Erica Farmer talking about what organizations need to be thinking about.
What do I think is the really key thing that organizations need to be considering with a rollout of AI in their organizations, with clients, with learners, with teams, whatever that context is actually three things. It's all very well bringing in your artificial intelligence, your large language models, etc. But I like to use, I'm probably showing my geeky side here. I'm a big Marvel Cinematic Universe fan. I love superheroes. And I love particularly Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr. being cast as Tony Stark, I think is probably one of the best casting in cinematic history. And the reason I talk about this is because for me, Tony Stark, Iron Man, and the AI that he uses in his Iron Man suit, all three elements of those represent for me the things that we need to think about with an AI rollout. So you've got Tony Stark, who's the person. He's not Superman. He doesn't have any superpowers. He can't fly. He doesn't have X-ray vision. He is a billionaire. I'll give you that. But from any other perspective, he's the person. And then you've got the Iron Man suit, which represents the infrastructure and the support that you actually need. Tony Stark wouldn't be Iron Man if he didn't have his Iron Man suit. You need that safeguard to sit around you. And then you've got Jarvis, that's the AI. So you need all three parts, the people for the skills, the infrastructure for things like your data integrity policy and your behavior framework on how to use AI. And then, of course, once you've got that, then you go rocking and rolling with your AI.
Of course, just like with all things, every organisation is different, says Kathy Hoy.
We're seeing, you know, through our network and through our participants on the Learning Leaders Programme, we're seeing that basically different L&D teams are all at different stages, which is no surprise, right? I mean, we're in a phase with AI where everyone is experimenting. And to me, that's the really exciting part, because I think it's hard at the moment to predict how AI is going to shape the future of learning and development.
Ethics and integrity leader at Inter IKEA Group, Binaz Chukbukchu, reminds us that AI has been around for a while in our sector.
Well, AI is nothing really new in the world of learning and development. Organizations have been investing and working with learning management systems, looking at how to improve learning management systems to create individual learning paths, personalization, working on modular approach to content, which is also another foundation for AI to work properly when it comes to personalization, and of course, machine translations. I mean, there has been a lot of work and energy put into machine translations and to improve that. So these are all AI supported solutions. But now with the introduction of ChatGPT last year, the big exposure actually shortened the time of adoption, and it's been a mass adoption in this area. So what's happening now is that in organizations, it's a very scattered landscape. There's no one direction. It's a playground, which is good in terms of exploration. However, it also carries risks that are not fully comprehended by the management teams. I haven't come across an organization with a solid strategy and purpose for AI solutions and implementation just yet. So it is an area of fun exploration. However, there's still a lot more to do.
I think it can be good to hear this point about not necessarily having a strategic approach. For most people and organisations, this is a new thing to cope with. So to come up with a decision about how it will impact the way you do your work takes time, research, understanding and thought. Speaking of which, Paul Westlake brings us back to the learner.
The current impact of AI, think about personalised learning and adaptability, assessment and feedback, predictive training needs. So with personalised learning and adaptability, The tools we have, the AI-powered tools, can generate personalized learning content. Each learner is getting the learning that they actually need. So the positive impact of that is it can significantly reduce the time and effort required for L&D teams to develop and deliver training materials, but also it can reduce the time the learner needs to spend on it while still getting the rich training that they require.
Trish Uhl is a generative AI leader and founder of Owl's Ledge, and highlights the transformative role that AI is having.
I've been facilitating conversations on AI and learning and talent development for the better part of the past decade. And with the advent of generative AI, we can now see how AI adoption and impact are accelerating. For example, in early 2023, we witnessed a seismic shift in the landscape of learning and development as AI image generation slashed the cost of graphic design from a staggering $150 per image to a mere 8 cents. So this has now been followed by an equally remarkable reduction in the cost of writing by AI text generation tools like ChatGPT. The cost of writing has now plummeted from $500 per 1,000 words to a mere 4 cents by late 2023 using tools like ChatGPT and Claude. This transformative development underscores the pivotal role AI plays in revolutionizing L&D. Tools such as Bing Chat, aka Copilot, exemplify this paradigm shift, enabling the creation of photorealistic images at virtually no cost. Such advancements not only showcase the efficiency and cost-effectiveness of generative AI, but also empower L&D professionals to swiftly produce diverse content tailored to specific learning objectives and audience needs. Looking ahead, AI's integration into L&D promises even greater strides, facilitating faster, more creative, and efficient content development to meet the dynamic needs and demands of learners and organizations.
With the costs coming down for creation and the number of tools increasing, which we'll dig into in our next podcast, utilizing this for business alignment is an important area for us to spend time on. Matthew Borg on what the L&D team can do for an organization.
The potential for AI tools to improve productivity throughout the organization is massive, whether that's marketing, legal, research and development, you know, customer service, admin teams. Everyone will be able to benefit and increase productivity. So what an opportunity for L&D teams to help organizations harness this potential, implement that change, train on the proper and safe use of new tools on company data, potentially reskill people into new areas. Yes, there will be productivity gains within L&D, you know, content creation or whatever. But wow, think of the bigger impact and where L&D can really show its value. Coming alongside the business and saying, how can I help you roll out these tools and have a productivity impact on the business?
Emma Weber continues the business focus.
I think the L&D role will change, and I think it's going to hasten the change that we've been talking about for ages in terms of getting more involved in business impact. What are business problems? I think the ease at which we have access to content will lessen the demand on L&D for content and really drive the need for behavioral change and particularly development. What I almost feel is content-based learning, where people are just struggling with information, that's going to be so easily available in so many different formats and accessible in so many different ways. I think people are going to come to L&D less for that.
For some, this is what L&D strive towards. For others, it's the bread and butter work of a learning team. Paul Westlake tells us more.
So as automation and AI becomes increasingly prevalent in the workplace, I guess we do need to consider how we prepare the workforce for this sort of transformative shift. The good news is, as an L&D team, this is nothing new. We are all about building training plans and communicating change. And ultimately, that's what's going on here.
Liz Naylor continues the training discussion.
Everyone is excited about it, and I think it's creating a lot of buzz in the industry, but I'm not actually seeing much action. I think there's probably hesitation, as not many companies have offered basic training yet on Gen AI, so maybe L&D could be feeling a little bit left behind. I think it's definitely going to change the way we do things, free up our time to concentrate on business impact and personalized journeys, personalized learning journeys, which will give a whole new engaging learner experience, which I'm really excited about.
With this in mind about our role, how should we in L&D be preparing our people and organizations? Erica Farmer says,
this is such a big thing that's going to change for not just professional lives, but personal lives, just how we generally live our lives going forwards. And we're just scratching the surface of that. And like any good change initiative, you need to take people with you. You need to get people to understand that the threat to their role, to the narrative around job displacement is something that we're picking up in the media, PR, online, etc. Which means organisations have an even bigger challenge to get their people to really understand and buy into all of the opportunities around not just productivity gains, but also upskilling, skills of the future, what I call human distinctive skills, and the opportunities that's going to bring for careers, for new jobs, for people to develop in ways perhaps they'd never really thought about.
Paul Westlake on addressing challenges.
And of course, we need to make sure that we're communicating openly and transparently with the staff. They're going to have concerns. So keep your employees informed about the strengths of AI, how it will impact their role. Address any concerns, anxieties, the same as you would with any other concerns they have in the business.
It's all about how to use AI from Chisul.
How are you preparing the workforce for automation and AI use at work? Hoi. Well, to prepare the workforce for the era of AI and automation, my emphasis lies in fostering AI fluency as a fundamental capability. This encompasses empowering individuals with the knowledge and skills to grasp AI's applications across diverse domains and contexts.
Emma Weber shares about specific AI jobs.
We have certain people on our team, and their specific role is to work with the generative AI. However, one of the things that I am actively doing is ensuring that everyone, whatever their role is in the organization, that they're creating time to experiment with AI in their own roles. So I found once people had got over the initial kind of fear and trepidation of, oh, that's not my role, or, oh, no, I'm fine as I am, actually really bringing people on the journey and getting people to just truly experiment as to how it can impact and help them in their role. I think creating time for that is key, regardless of whether it's someone's technical role or not. And I found that was important for myself as well.
It's been mentioned that there are things that can be automated, that AI can do for us to make things quicker and easier. And Tricia Rule talks about testing this out for the right tasks and roles.
We're at the forefront of aiding individuals and organizations in deconstructing their work into tasks and activities, and then strategically determining which are ripe for automation. We need to help equip people for them to be able to deconstruct their work into tasks and activities, and then for them to decide and use their discernment for how it is to leverage AI in order to automate which tasks and which activities to do now and which ones to do later. And so by fostering a culture of experimentation and innovation with new AI tools and technologies, my aim is to empower the workforce to adapt and flourish in an increasingly automated environment.
Paul Westlake continues this approach about playing with the technology.
Get them to have a go. Provide opportunities for them to experiment. Provide opportunities for them to innovate. Ask that question when they're struggling with a problem. Is this something AI could possibly help with? Encourage employees to experiment with the tools and explore creative ways to integrate them into their day-to-day work, whilst at the same time having a supportive environment where they can share their concerns, share their ideas, and learn from their mistakes.
Trish Uhl emphasizes the approach for individuals.
Preparing the workforce for automation is a lot more than just what's happening on the job. It's actually what's happening with AI in every aspect of our life. That's one of the best ways that we can serve people throughout this AI transformation. And so to do this, we need to be able to prepare individuals and individual contributors, but we also need to prepare managers and leaders to proficiently lead AI and human hybrid teams, not in the distant future, but in the present moment. So this involves equipping them with requisite training and resources to navigate the complexity of managing teams, where both AI and human workers collaborate seamlessly together.
Liz Naylor highlights the importance of understanding some of the different ways that AI can be used.
It's not affecting my job in terms of productivity gains through the use of GPTs, but more in terms of the types of project that I'm working on. So as a learning consultant in front of clients, I need to know what it's all about and how it can be used. So a lot of my job is actually researching and curating content on the role of Gen AI in L&D so that I can advise clients about how to start implementing it. And moving forward, I think it will actually be about starting to identify specific use cases for clients and implementing those projects.
Erica Farmer deepens this conversation and looks at the skills we need in this era of AI.
Things are going to be changing quite rapidly. So these supporting skills, such as learning agility, complex problem solving, those kind of human distinctive skills I talk about, are going to be even more important. So I think there's an opportunity there to really get people's buy-in and support, but there's a bit of a blind spot if we're not careful on those embedding skills as well. AI is already affecting L&D, certainly from a conversation and energy, a buzz perspective. I think we're just at the top of the iceberg, though, and you listen to real thought leaders such as Dr. Philippa Hardman and her thinking and modelling around L&D 4.0 that needs to support the workforce of the future. I think that's really where we're going to go from learning and development, talent, training, HR. And she talks about, you know, we could continue to try and flog a dead horse in regards to that golden chalice of level 5 return on investment and continue to put money and time into a machine that doesn't particularly work very well. And I think as L&Ders, we know that. Or we can rip up the rule book. And we can start to map out what our businesses need against requirements and opportunities that Gen AI brings us, such as quality checking and strategy thinking, and using it as that co-pilot tool as opposed to just content creation, which is where we kind of see ourselves right now. I think organizations who grasp not just Gen AI, but, you know, super AI, some of the stuff that we're seeing in healthcare, communications in regards to the bots, there's a real opportunity here for not just the hearts and minds, but for L&D to really get to that place around future skills.
For Emma Weber, it's not all about the AI.
So I think we sometimes leap into, well, everything needs to be generative or everything needs to be AI. Some things are best through automation and programming. So looking at that combination. Throughout the year, I think we're moving from experimenting to rolling out. I think last year was a year of experimenting. Personally, we launched a generative version of our CoachM tool this January, so that is now rolling out. But it did take us a fair amount of iterating last year to get it to the point where we were really happy with the quality. And I think wanting to go beyond a minimal viable product and to get something really robust before launching was important to me. And so that will be a big part of our focus for 2024.
We have to be mindful, says Jeanette Tessier, author of Get That Course Online, about the limitations of not only the technology, but the people too.
So my job is all around helping people to create effective and engaging online courses. And AI is a really interesting one because I work with entrepreneurs and I work with organisations. I work with all sorts of different types of people. There's an awful lot around at the moment in terms of learning opportunities, I guess you could call them. Snake oil salesman is the other way of talking about them. Of people talking about AI being the answer to churning out a ton of low cost and low quality online courses, any subject you care to mention. And that's a really interesting thing to think about because I think there are an awful lot of people who weren't trainers but were proficient in technical aspects and recording aspects and videos and all that kind of thing who didn't do online courses because they didn't know what they were going to talk about. Whereas prior to AI really coming to the fore, there were a lot of people who did know what they were talking about. So trainers, speakers, authors, coaches, the people that I tend to work with in the main, who knew what they wanted to say, but they didn't know how to use the technology to say it. I think the problem that we have now is it will right itself in time, I'm sure. But I think that AI is becoming something that a lot of people know a little about and are trying to use it to create all sorts of content. And so the marketplaces, certainly the ones that I operate in, are being flooded with low quality content And the risk of that is that people are just getting switched off from seeing anything and looking at anything, and also not necessarily yet being able to discern between decent content and content that they can, you know, probably find for themselves, given half a chance with Google or even AI itself.
For Emma Weber, it's about thinking things through.
Having a technology product, what we found was we really needed to go back to the core of the product and say which parts are best automated and which parts are best with generative AI. And so when I'm looking at AI, really specifically, I'm looking at generative AI in most areas because other AI has already been with us for a while. And so it's saying, okay, well, what parts are best done through generative and what parts are best done through different technology or programming or automation.
In the next podcast on AI, we explore about some of the tools people are using, how coaching is developing with this new technology and more. Trish Uhl gives us inspiration for what we do in L&D.
And so what we can do as learning and development practitioners and professionals is to transcend mere adaptation to AI-driven changes and instead focus on leveraging AI's capabilities to revolutionize performance consulting, knowledge management, and decision science. So this is actually one of the ways that we can get out of the routinization trap, which is don't use the new technology just to cover the old cow paths of what it is that we've always done. What does AI now give us and other populations in our workforce the ability to do that was aspirational, that we were never able to do before, that this now unlocks and unleashes? And so this paradigm shift underscores the importance of harnessing real-time ambient intelligence to drive strategic decision-making and enhance overall people and organizational performance. I mean, there's quite a lot of gains that we can do here to do good, purposeful, meaningful work.
Thank you, TechSmith, for providing Audiate. And to close today, I'm going to reference back to the 1930 work of John Maynard Keynes with a quote from the blog of Bill Gates, where he talks about AI agents as personal assistants for everyone. In the distant future, agents may even force humans to face profound questions about purpose. Imagine that agents become so good that everyone can have high quality of life without working nearly as much. In a future like that, what would people do with their time? Would anyone still want to get an education when an agent has all the answers? Can you have a safe and thriving society when most people have a lot of free time on their hands? But we're a long way from that point. In the meantime, agents are coming. In the next few years, they will utterly change how we live our lives, online and off.